Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
12, verse 10. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." You may be seated. The half has not been told. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Life is about overcoming. The Bible said it's a few days and full of trouble. The difference between Christians and non-Christians is not that we don't face trouble than they do. It's that we are given and instilled with the power of God to overcome what the world cannot overcome. The Greek for overcome is most often translated from the verb nakeo, which means to conquer, to be victorious, or to prevail. It implies a sense of triumph over opposition, whether literal or figurative. The noun form is Nike. So when you see Nike shoes and Nike athletic equipment, that's what it means. It means victory. It means overcoming. We must know and we must confess that we are overcomers. The Bible declares that we are to overcome Satan, we're to overcome the world, and we are to overcome our enemies. The elements of our overcoming are unique. One is the blood of the Lamb. We are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Every Christian that knows anything about the Bible understands that, embraces that without the blood of Christ, we are not overcomers. We are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. When you take the blood of Jesus Christ and put it on the doorpost of your heart, what happens? You're an overcomer. That's how Israel overcame the death angel in Egypt, by putting the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost of their house. And their firstborn did not die. So we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Everybody understands that is a Bible-believing Christian. However, the second half is not as well understood. We are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, which, if we are not diligent, can be minimized. We say, well, we're just saved by the blood of Jesus. You know, there are millions of Christians that might or might not be in church today, but they just believe they're saved. I like to watch Christian television, not so much just preachers, but churches. I would like to watch them pan the audience to see what kind of audience they got. And there is nothing and no group, I don't care whether it's Amway, I don't care whether it's an automobile race or a bad, there's no crowd as bored as people on TV that are in church services. You can tell by the expression on their face, they're saying, when is this guy going to be through? And when can I get out of here? They're like Joe Biden looking at his watch at that ceremony for the soldiers that were brought home deceased. They just can't wait to get out of there because they are convinced that they are saved with absolutely no experience. The second half of this experience of overcoming is the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb is completed. That's the reason why Jesus Christ on the cross shouted what? It is finished. But your testimony ain't finished yet. It's faith that turns temptation into an overcoming victory. It's faith that turns defeat into a testimony. And God intends for you to be involved in that all the time. The word of our testimony is the second half of the overcoming experience. We all know what Jesus Christ did on the cross, which is awesome. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, but the whole world is not saved. Even though the blood of the Lamb was shed for the whole world, the missing element of their salvation is the word of their testimony. It's not only what Jesus did, it's what Jesus did for me. And it's what Jesus did to me. One of my friends pastors one of the largest churches in America, Pentecostal Church. He's an amazing guy. So a boy out of his church started a church in New Braunfels. And he said, go see Steve Fender. He said, he's one of my three best friends. This guy is a major player. He's a personal friend of Billy Clinton's. He's got a major church of thousands. Man, I was just excited that I was one of his three best friends. I come home and told Becky. I said, you know, he said that I'm one of his three best friends. And Becky took the air out of my sails so quickly. She said, yeah, I notice he's burning up your phone. I hadn't heard from that guy in years, and I was one of his three best friends. There's a lot of people like that. We say, God's on our side. He is a friend that sticketh closer than our brother. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. But we're not exactly burning the line up to heaven, are we? We're not exactly experiencing a word of our testimony. Becky has just released a new song, Me and God. It's got history. Let me tell you something. If you don't have history with God, you don't have a future with God. And there's a lot of people that don't have any history with God except to say, I believe in the blood of the Lamb. That's not enough. You've got to have a testimony. Jesus said, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works. That's where Christ should applause, but this is what he said. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. No relationship. When you look at that word there, he said, I never knew you. If you trace that Greek back to the Hebrew, where Abraham knew Sarah, many had relationship with her. What Jesus has said, I know you're saying all these things, but you have no relationship. You have no testimony with me. We are to be epistles seen and read of all men, the Bible said. You are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifested and declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered to us, by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. He said, you must have a testimony. What has God done for you? You know, they have those testimonies, testimonials, they call them, on television about every kind of. From garden hose. Man, I just watch TV and I never wanted to buy a garden hose so bad in all my life. I don't even need a garden hose. I don't have a garden. But man, when they advertise that garden hose, they say it's got over 100 patents. Johnny, I want to get that garden hose. And I just watch that stuff and say, man, medicine is a little different because I read all those side effects. That kind of scares me off some of the medicine. But I did fall for. Have you seen the one where if you just put it under your eye, it takes away the bags of your eye? I bought some of that. It was only $19.95. I thought I was going to look like Tyler. I put some of that on my face, looked in the mirror. I didn't look like Tyler. I looked exactly like my mother just before she died. But it was a testimonial. Let me tell you about this stuff. It works. It will take the wrinkles out of your face. It'll only last about 3 minutes. So put it on there and then run out and show people, and then you got to run back in the bedroom. It's that testimonial. The Bible tells the story, and I've always loved this story. It's about the Queen of Sheba. She'd heard a little bit about Solomon. Said he's being blessed. And so she made the trip with a lot of her servants, a lot of camels. I mean, it was a big deal. It wasn't like going to the airport. It was saddling up your camel and riding for a couple weeks. And she got there expecting to be disillusioned and let down. But when she got there, she said, "Wow, the half has not been told." You know, the problem with the church that we're not winning the world is our testimony doesn't match our experience. We understand the power of the blood of the Lamb, but we're not giving the word of our testimony. Our experience ought to be so powerful that the word of our testimony ought to get them saved at Walmart. Ought to get them filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever seen anybody like that? When I was a young man, there was a man by the name of Winfred Black. He pastored a church in St. Louis called 13th and Gravois. That was the address, and everybody called it the 13th and Gravois. First time I ever went to that church, I was just a kid about 16 or 17 years of age, sitting on the back seat, minding my own business, had only preached a few little sermonettes. And Brother Black came back and said, "Steve, there's hundreds of people there. Steve, I want you to preach tonight." It like scared me to death, but he became my mentor, and he was a good mentor because his testimony matched his experience. I've seen him in car washes. He always drove a Chrysler. He washed his car at least once a day. He was meticulous in his dress. Everything had to be real. We'd stop. He'd just get out and wash his car in a suit. After washed his car. But I've seen him, somebody come up to him and say, "Sir, you're in a, oh yeah, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy." It wouldn't be 5 minutes till he would have them baptized in the Holy Spirit in a car wash. Best soul winner I ever saw. In a restaurant, same thing. He had a little deal he did. He'd say, "Are you a Christian?" And if they said yes, he'd say, "Great, let's pray together." If they said no, he'd jump back and say, "What? You must be the last sinner in the world. Everybody's coming to Christ." And then what did he? "Let's pray. We don't want you to be the only one without Jesus," he'd say. He was amazing. His testimony matched his experience. But the Queen of Sheba said, "Hey," she said, "your testimony doesn't match your experience. If I had known what God was doing for you, Solomon, I wouldn't have had to make, I could just got it at home." She said, "When I see the house that God has built you, when I see the attendance of the house, when I see the meat of the table, when I see the apparel, and when I see the happiness of your servants, I am shocked that you didn't do a better job. The half has not been told." Ladies and gentlemen, we are to have an experience with Christ that is so transforming that we don't only shine in the church, but all around this city and all around this world, they say those people have got a unique experience. I told you about the gentleman that called me one time. He said, "Does Mrs. So-and-so go to your church?" I said, "She does." He said, "You know, she went through a terrible divorce." So I thought he was going to the old line, "Well, she wasn't much of a Christian or she wouldn't be divorced." He said, "I want to come to your church this Sunday because I saw her go through that terrible divorce." And he said, "Pastor, she never lost her joy." He said, "Whatever she's got, I don't have. I want to come to your church because I saw her go through a divorce and not lose her joy." Friend, I'm asking you, I know that you have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life, but I'm asking you about the word of your testimony because you can't overcome until the word of your testimony matches the experience of his love and his blood and his redemption. The half has not been told about salvation. You need to be able to tell people about your experience. It's all right to tell people what you used to be and then show them what you are now. It's all right to say, look what the Lord has done for me. He's turned me around. He's changed my life. It is the testimony and the second half of the story of your salvation. I am now a new creature in Christ Jesus. I wasn't raised this way, you can tell them. My family were not Christians. My family were drinkers. My family were drug addicts. Before I came to Christ, my mouth was filthy. I've been changed. I want to tell you the other half of the story. Look what the Lord has done. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's the word of my testimony. I was dead in sins and trespasses, and now I am the righteousness of God. I was lonely, and now God is my constant companion. Give them the testimony of your conversion and your salvation. The Apostle Paul was one of the most learned, educated, intellectual people of Bible times. But when he came before kings and when he became before leaders, it was not of the things that he could have taught them. He simply told them about his life and how he was a torturer of Christians. He was an enemy of Christ and all of Christ's fight. He gave them his testimony. His testimony matched his experience. He told the second half of the story. So the first half of your salvation is great. It's look at Jesus on the cross. But look at me after the cross is the second part of the story. The half has not been told about your provision. Can you tell people how broke you used to be and how God now supplies your every need? Can you tell them how thirsty you were spiritually and now how satisfied you are? Can you tell them how at one time you were unclothed and you literally have been clothed in the garment of salvation now? David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. This is his testimony. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He put a song in my mouth and a praise unto our God, and many shall see it. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, he was a praiser, but not always. It was something that happened to him after he experienced the love and the power of Almighty God. You will never be an overcomer until you get a word of testimony, until you can tell people, look what the Lord has done in my life. Look where the Lord brought me from. Look how the Lord changed me. The half has not been told about my inheritance. You know, I've been at death's door now 3 times. And I hear people talk about different things. When I was laying at death's door just a few weeks ago, right down here at Northeast Baptist Hospital, I didn't say, God, you ever seen the car I'm driving? God, do you see the houses I've lived in? God, do you remember when I was at PTL and Jim Baker would say, go get them, Steve. 17 million people will be watching you when you preach now. None of that came up in my conversation. I'll tell you what did come up. Both of my hands came up when the doctor was saying I might not make it. And I said a prayer that a friend of mine said just before he went to heaven. And I thought it was the best thing I've ever heard. And I said it over and over. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Friend, I want to tell you the things that we spend and invest so much time on are not very important. But this is the other half of the story. Not only has he washed me by the blood of the Lamb and cleansed me, I love this. which none of the princes of this world knew. They had no idea. The demons of hell and the princes of this world had no idea what they were doing when they crucified Christ. Before they crucified Christ, I had no future. I had no promise. I had no inheritance. I was dying just like I came into this world with nothing. I was a pauper. But when they put Christ on that cross, it opened up a whole different world for me. And now I want to tell you the other half of my inheritance. If I die in Christ, it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Hey, from what I read in the Word of God and what I know, when I die, there is a big pearly gate. It's going to swing open, and I'm going to walk through that. And I'm going to see my mama, my daddy, Becky's mama, and all the wonderful people. Brother Leslie Nichols used to sit here on the, oh, they're all waiting for me. I'm going to see all of them. Streets of gold. Probably Leslie or somebody. Hey, Steve, I saw your mansion. They didn't let me go into the, they said, that's Steve's mansion. See, that's entered into my heart. But he said, what I have prepared for you, you haven't even thought about it. You haven't even, well, what about all the things I thought about? Oh, that's a given. That's a given. But God has prepared for me, because I love him, things that are not even into the heart or the imagination of man. That's the other half of the story. We're not selling the product like we should. If we could tell people the other half of the story, we would be greater witnesses than Solomon. When she said, even your servants are happy. Becky asked me the other day, what do you miss about old church? I said, the joy and the happiness. In old church, people used to get so happy, they jumped up and down for no apparent reason. It wasn't apparent to you, but it was apparent to them. It was in their heart. They got happy. They got beside themselves. They laughed out loud. They clapped their hands. They jumped up and down with joy. I miss the joy. Friend, we should not let the tremors and troubles of this world affect us. We got too much CNN and too much Fox News and too many crazy presidents and crazy legislators and problems and weirdos and perverts, and it's weighing us down. Lay off every weight and say, wait just a minute. Let me tell you, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory, because I have been applied the blood of Lamb to my doorpost of my heart, and I am saved. And I'm going to tell you the other half of the story is, I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm sanctified. The Lord is on my side. I'm washed in his blood. Praise God. That is my salvation. And not only that, he feeds me daily bread. He takes care of me. He makes a way where there is no way. Not only that, when I leave this world, it's not only streets of gold and gates of pearl and my friends and my loved ones and my mansion, things I have not even thought about, God has prepared for me. That's the other half of the story. Faith turns your testimony into a defeat, or turns your defeat into a testimony. Friend, let me tell you about him. This is the other half of the story. Did you ever fall? Yeah. Did God throw you away? He said, I don't know why he's cast you away. He just picked me up and brushed me off. Hallelujah. That's the other half of the story. He's a good God. Somebody said, oh, I know there's a lot of people going to hell and this and that. But the other half of the story is that God is merciful and His mercy is new every morning. That's the other half of the story. That God has never cast me away. That God has always forgiven me. That God has fixed me over and over and over and over again. Praise God. And all of my mistakes and all of my defeats, He has an amazing way of turning them around into a victory. And what the devil means for evil, God turns it into good. My temptation and my trials suddenly become stars in my crown because of His grace and His power. That's the other half of the story. And we need to tell it. And we need to tell it loud and clear so people will come experience what we have experienced. I preached a little sermon and Becky wrote a song. I still have a future. It came from a little sermon that I preached on a Wednesday night in the building next door. I've told you the story. One of my best friends pastored a great church, but he got discouraged. I don't know what all happened in his life, but I just watched him disintegrate. I saw him divorce his wife. I saw him neglect his only daughter. I saw him leave the ministry. I saw that wonderful church disintegrate, and I lost track of him. But I was riding some colts at my ranch out of Kingsbury, and when I came from the Kingsbury Ranch, I always came through New Braunfels, and there used to be a little Chinese restaurant there. And so I had on my Wrangler shirt and my Wrangler jeans and my boots and my spurs. I just got off some colts. I've been riding and had on my cowboy hat. I sat down in that little Chinese restaurant. No, I'm sorry. That was another. I sat down in the Clear Springs Fish. I was sitting there eating. And the guy said, "You can still smoke in the restaurant." He was smoking. And he looked over at me and he said, "Fender, is that you?" I said, "Yes, is that you?" He said, "It is." He's sitting there smoking. This pastor I'd preached so many times for. He got up and he followed me out to the restroom. I got ready to go to my car and he stood there on the steps with tears in his eyes. He said, "Fender, don't do like I've done." He said, "I have nothing. I have nothing." He said, "I'm living on memories. That's all I have is just memories." He said, "But someday I'm going to come to your church. You're going to see me sitting on your back seat." And he said, "When I come, preach to me. Get me to that altar. Help me." I never saw him again until a friend of mine, Johnny Harrell, called me. And he said, "You going to the funeral today?" I said, "Who died?" And he told me, he called the guy's name. I said, "What happened to him?" He said, "He died of AIDS. He died of AIDS." What he didn't understand is that God can take any defeat and turn it into a testimony. Any loss can become a victory. That God can turn around. If you're still breathing, there is hope. And God is more than able. And God said, "Don't walk out on the drama. Stay for the third act. The third act is going to fix it all." I used to have season tickets to the Spurs years ago. There was two or three times where the Spurs would get so far behind. I hate traffic. I hate to wait in line. I hate to wait to get out of a parking lot. My friend Ed Newton pastors the great community Bible church here in town. We had some people leave his church and come here. And I thought that it was because they liked to hear me preach better than they did Ed. They said, "No." Said, "You got less traffic in your parking lot." Said, "It takes an hour to get out of their parking lot over there." Well, that defeated me. But anyway, I'd leave those Spurs game because they're down 18 points. Get out there on 35. And suddenly, that was back in Ginobili and Tim's day, suddenly they'd score about 15 points. Now it's a nail biter. I wanted to turn my car around and go back. It's too late. Fight the traffic to get back in. Some people left the church too early. Because I'm going to tell you what, you're going to love the third act. You're going to love the final story. You're going to love the finishing act. God is going to do things in people's lives. And friend, when I feel like I'm defeated, I found out that's when I stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. Because God has got another story, another half a story. And it's always about grace. And it's always about restoration. And it's always about redemption. And it's always about God's going to do it again. It's always about the prodigal getting up out of the pig pen and coming home. It's always a great ending. God is never anticlimactic. I don't watch many movies today. I don't go to the movies, don't watch many of them on TV because they don't know how to end. If you can't say and they lived happily ever after, I don't want to watch the movie. I don't want he shot her and then committed suicide. I don't want to see that movie. Because God has addicted me to big endings. And the biggest ending is about to happen. Praise God. First, there's going to be a revival and restoration. And there's going to be millions of backsliders come home. And millions of new people that have never known Christ. Oh, friend, it's the second half of the story. The half has never yet been told, ladies and gentlemen. And then it's going to be an outpouring of His Holy Spirit and signs and wonders and miracles. And then suddenly, praise God, my ear is going to hear the trump sound, praise God. And the Lord Himself is going to step out. And with His voice, He's going to resurrect the dead. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with Him. It is the rest of the story. And there's only one reason why people backslide. Only one. It's because they don't wait for the second half of the story. You don't realize how many places I've had to quit. That if I would have quit, I would have been defeated totally. But I just didn't quit. I like what Tommy Barnett said. I don't know how to quit. You know, I just still involved in business. And I told somebody the other day, I said, I've been pastoring for 50 years and doing what I do all these years. And I found out it's a whole lot harder to quit than it is to start. Friend, I don't have any quit in me. I'm going to stay till the fat lady sings. I'm going to stay until the Spurs score the final bucket. I'm going to stay until God does His best work. Until I see the glory of the latter house, until I dance in the latter rain, I am going to hear the second half of the story. She said, and the half has never yet been told. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to leave now. It's just getting ready to get good. Everything else is going to pale in comparison to what God is about to do in your life. The last part of your life is going to be the best part of your life. And what God is going to do in your family is going to make everything else pale in comparison. So get ready. Get ready for the final act. God is about to do something in your life. I refuse to live on memories. I am convinced that my God is not anticlimactic, and He knows the end from the beginning, and the end is better than the beginning. And that's for me and for you and for His church and His world. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen. Would you stand on your feet right now, lift your hands, and worship the Lord? Lord, we praise You and we worship You. We magnify You today in this house. There's somebody in this house today that you are in the midst of a trial. Remember that. It's the middle of the trial. It's not the end of the trial. It's not the first part. It's the middle. But you're going to love the way God finishes it up. You're facing some things that you don't have an answer for, but God's got the answer. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. God has placed in me, that's been there for a long time, when there's a crisis, I get stronger. When it looks hopeless, my hope gets bigger. I've always done that. What Houston started a church. The first night we had church there, we had like 100 people. There was a lot of curious people. Had a young man, young preacher by the name of Keith. Keith was with me. We went into that hotel ballroom and 7 people showed up. Keith said, "Fender," he said, "I've been with you all over America, preaching conferences and camp meetings." He said, "You preach better to 7 people than I've heard you preach to thousands of people." He said, "Why was it?" I said, "I try harder when there's 7. When I was just at Becky and I were very young, just getting started, they asked us to preach the morning camp in Indianapolis, Indiana. That tabernacle seats about 3,000. So they asked me to preach the 9 o'clock service. I'd been there at night, there's 3,000 people there. I didn't understand that Pentecostal people were night people. And they slept in. I walked out there expecting 3,000 people, there was about 13 in 3,000 seats. Becky sang like there was 3,000. I preached like there was 3,000. That's 13. Did that for 5 days, 5 mornings. Nobody there. I mean, just 13 people, just a handful. But man, we just gave it our best shot. When I got through that Friday, I was so disappointed that nobody came. I was only about 21 years old. That Friday, when I got through, nobody's there hardly. They came to me and said, "Hey, can you come back next year and preach the night service?" I said, "Yes, I can." Well, there's 3,000 there then. But the reason why I got to go back for 3,000 is I took my best shot when there's 13. Friend, life's going to give you 13 a lot of times. But it's up to you to make your praise louder and bigger and stronger. Life is going to present you some real tests, and you got to pass those tests. And if you pass those tests, you get to read the second part of the story. And the second part of the story is a big, big deal. And God is getting ready to do a big deal, a big thing in somebody's life in this room right now. And if God has spoken to you and he's told you, get ready. I'm getting ready to open the doors to the second half. And you've got faith to realize that that defeat is going to be turned into the greatest victory of your life. I challenge you to step out of your pew and walk up here right now and say, "God,